Before we enter into our particular time of worship this evening, let me just remind you of a couple of things in particular, different things that are coming up. Restarting the Wednesday prayer time this Wednesday, the 2nd of January at the Manse, just to remind you of that prayer we have concluded is vitally important for us, and so please do remember that, whether you can actually make it or not, please do join in prayer where you are at that time. There's also a new opportunity to pray together, just briefly, from about 10 minutes past 6 every Sunday evening before the evening service starting next week. And then the other item to especially remind you of is the walk that we're encouraging as many people as possible to join in on New Year's Day. And information is there, but please do ask again if you're unsure. And then finally, that there will be tea and coffee and a wee something with it offered after the evening service, if you can stay on just this evening. Now, in the words of Psalm 73, some verses, I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Let us come to our God in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful Father, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned and we have fallen from your ways. We have been foolish. We have followed the leanings and the desires of our own hearts too often. We have transgressed against your holy laws, and we have fallen short of them. We have done what we ought not to have done, and we've left not done things we ought to have done. There is no peace, no wholeness in us. And therefore, O Lord, we come and ask that you will have mercy on us in that state of misery which our sin brings. Again, we pray, Lord, that you would spare those who confess their faults, restore those who are penitent, and this according to your own promises, which are declared to men in Christ Jesus our Lord. And, most merciful Father, for his sake, grant that we may go on to live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Let us turn to our first praise this evening to sing in Psalm 138, a psalm which speaks how, through God's help, we can come to recognize his own greatness, that he is the one who is to be praised. And so the psalm also calls on all men to join in that praise, and the assurance that the time will come when all will praise our God. Psalm 138, page 179. And we'll sing the verses marked 1 through to 5. Let's now stand together to sing.
I'll praise you, Lord, with all my heart, before the God I'll sing your praise. Oh,
We'll turn now to read in Psalm 146, a psalm that speaks, calls us to the praise of God, and bears witness on the reasons for that praise, especially from man's own point of view, as it were, the mercies that God shows to us. Psalm 146, and I would call on you to respond in reading this evening, that we share in this reading, that I read the first verse. I would call on you to read together verse 2 and so on in that order, reading each second verse in response. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Praise the Lord. I'm praises to my God.
Do not put your trust in princes, nor in a son of man, in whom there is no help. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry, the Lord gives freedom to the prisoners. The Lord watches over the strangers, he relieves the fatherless and widow, but the way of the wicked he turns upside down. Praise the Lord. And it is to him that we turn once more, giving thanks and trusting in his promise of pardon and mercy. Let us pray. We thank you, O Lord, for this, your word. And on this foundation, O Lord our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who does not desire the death of a sinner, but that he may turn from wickedness and live. We would thank you, O Lord, for your word's declaration of the forgiveness and remission of sins. And we pray that indeed you will grant pardon to all who truly repent, believing in your holy gospel. And so as we read and hear your promises this evening, we pray that you will open the eyes of our hearts, that you will grant us that true repentance and your Holy Spirit, that our lives now will please you, that the rest of our lives will be pure and holy, made righteous by your mercies in Christ, that at last we may enter your eternal joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We continue developing our theme this evening, turning once more to sing, and it is in Psalm 70 on page 90. There's an abundance of passages in the Psalms of this theme of help, as the great Psalm 124, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. But now to sing Psalm 70 on page 90, the whole psalm, make haste, O God, to save me. O Lord, come to my aid. May those who seek to kill me be utterly dismayed. May all who seek my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May all those who mock me with shame their steps retrace. And so on, and the acknowledgement of the Lord's help and assurance of his salvation. Psalm 70, again standing to sing to God's praise.
Make haste, O God, to save me, O Lord.
Turn with me to read again in Scripture, in the Old Testament, the first book of Samuel. First book of Samuel, reading the last couple of verses of chapter 6, beginning the story into chapter 7. First Samuel, reading from chapter 6 and verse 20. This follows the struggles that Israel had had against the Philistines, and the Philistines had captured the ark, which had been improperly taken into the scene of battle, but then the ark had been returned to Israel. And so we take up the story at chapter 6 and verse 20. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, "Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall it go up from us?" So they sent messengers to the inhabitants of Kirjath-Jearim, saying, "The Philistines have brought back the ark of the Lord. Come down and take it up with you." Then the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord, and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill, and consecrated Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. So it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, "If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines." So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashereths and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, "Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard of it, they were afraid of the Philistines. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a suckling lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. Now as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, and drove them back as far as below Beth-Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen, and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come any more into the territory of Israel. The hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Then the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron to Gath, and Israel recovered its territory from the hands of the Philistines. Also there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. He went from year to year on a circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. But he always returned to Ramah, for his home was there. There he judged Israel, and there he built an altar to the Lord. So far in this God's Word, with thankfulness and seeking his blessing upon it. And I would turn here for a short time this evening, and in particular verse 12, where Samuel took a stone and set it up, called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." In our last service together for 2012, it's a time of the year when many people will look back. Many will look forward, and perhaps you do that yourselves at the moment, however briefly that might be, before you then just have to get on with things again. I'm reminded of when you take a flight and you land somewhere, and the one that struck me one day not so long ago was I landed in Edinburgh, and it was announced the local time is, having just flown from London. So I'm not sure what they thought we were doing during that flight, but usually the rigmarole that they go through finishes on this note, and we wish you a pleasant and safe onward journey. It's not surprising, but it is very interesting that the assumption is you're not going to stop right there for the rest of your life. You do have somewhere else better to go to. There is an onward journey. And isn't life like that? We might well look back. There's a lot to be said for looking back, but we most certainly need to look forward. And I think that's something that we have in what Samuel did in verse 12. Samuel set up a stone and named it Ebenezer, meaning the stone of help. And his reason was because thus far the Lord has helped us. He was looking back, but he was looking back in a way that meant it was necessary to set up this stone, this marker, this reminder of what had come about. You see, I think if you were only looking backwards, it would almost be enough simply to say something. Thus far has the Lord helped us. But a stone is a remembrance. The stone was there because they expected to go on and then, in those further days, to be reminded of God's help. Joshua, when he led the people across the River Jordan, when the river split and they walked across in dry land, he said, one man from each of the 12 tribes needs to pick up a stone and bring it through, and we will set up a column of stones. And then he goes on and he explains, it will be a memorial forever, Joshua chapter 4. And then he comes back to it a little later in that same chapter, and he says, I'm expecting that that will be visible to further generations, and your descendants, your children and their descendants, will be expected to ask, what's this about? Perhaps you will go to some of the towns and the cities in Britain, and you go through the center of the town, and there's something made of granite sitting there in the middle, very often quite square and chunky, and there's names inscribed on it. And for the first time you see it, perhaps as a youngster, you might say, what's that? And you're encouraged then to say, well, this is a memorial to those who have given their lives for this nation. Things that have happened in the past. That stone standing in front of you to remind you of that, to get you thinking about your own day and the days that are ahead. That was to be, in Joshua's day, a memorial forever. Very much looking ahead, looking forward, not just looking back to what God had done. And in particular, in that case, in Joshua's case, it was to keep the fear of God before their descendants. Is not this much the same? Directing their attention, Samuel knew that this was God's answer to his prayer for the people. And he was setting the Lord's work for the people right in front of them with this stone, with its name. The Lord is our helper. Things that have been done, have been accomplished. There is a record of them, a record here of what the Lord has done. And when you see it, to reflect on what the Lord has done, to reflect on his care, his provision, his salvation, very much the case in that setting. And any time that we reflect on it and think on it ourselves, to remember his saving work. There in times to come, putting that message in front of each of us again and again. To look forward, the Lord has been your helper. What next? When you come to Tuesday next week, or this coming week rather, New Year's Day, if we see it, God willing, in many respects, it will be a day just like any other. It'll be that slight minute or two longer than the day before, but it's much like any other. You have a holiday, perhaps, and you're able to do other things, but generally speaking, the day will be something very similar. But a date like this can serve a moment to reflect back and to anticipate and to look forward. A time for us as a congregation to look back and to think on the year past and God's great help towards us. If you look back in your life, what do you see? Do you recognize that the Lord has helped us, has helped you? Do you recognize his blessings towards you? And I encourage you to see them, to take time. Recognize them for what they are. A wonderful greeting, I think, is to say, may you know the Lord's blessings upon you. Not simply praying that God will bless, that is something wonderful as well, but that you will know God's blessings, because God is only a blessing God. Nothing but good comes from him. It's for us to recognize them, to see them. Yes, when I say that God is a blessing God, he does curse sin and the sinner who holds on to their sins. But he will bless. He will bless even the sinner by lifting you out of your sin if you come to him in true faith. He has no wish to leave you in your sins. And the curse is also to drive you from them. But God is a blessing God. God shows his grace to all men. We must recognize that. He gives all men, each of us, and everyone far more than any of us deserve. Not one of us deserves another day on this earth. But he gives it. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, Paul speaks of the riches of his goodness, long-suffering, and forbearance. And he's writing to people, he says, who despise those riches, not knowing that the goodness of God leads them, you, us, me, to repentance. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 5, he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. The context around what he says there, what Jesus says, is the response to just that, that abundant blessing that is poured out on all men, the sun today and the rain today, is given to all. But the question is, how will you respond to those things? It's a widespread blessing. How do you respond? Do you recognize God's hand in these things? How you respond demonstrates whether you are indeed a child of God. Now, I know that in this past year, some have faced very, very tough things, even amongst us, some very hard things. But even so, I must say, and it sounds quite blunt, but I must say, things could have been far worse, because God is gracious. God restrains evil. And there is much that is good. I often think of this infamous motorway that circles us, the M25. And I wonder if it's perhaps the bad days that really stick in your head. But most of you who do need to use it, even just to get to church, four times on a Sunday, 52 weeks of the year virtually, generally speaking, it's gone pretty well. There have been good days. It's often the bad things we remember that stick in our minds. Let's be like Samuel and Israel, who remembered the Lord's help. In the light of what I said this morning, to remember how evil is restrained. Yes, it is. There is a battle, but how we've been helped in it and through it. That it is not worse, as it was for Israel. They faced this opposition. And see what happened in the previous verse? At last, after many years, they drove the Philistines back as they relied upon the Lord. Let's not presume on the good things that God gives us too often. And that's why the Ebenezers are crucial. That they are there as though you turn the corner and there it is in front of you to say, yeah, God has helped us. I've been forgetting. God has helped us. We must recall, we must reflect. And this is a good time to do it. But even more than that, we have so much more than Israel did. Every day. And that's why it's not just Christmas, it's not just New Year's Day, it's not just Easter, which is important for you and for me. It is the day of the resurrection that we must commemorate. This is our Ebenezer that sets in front of us again the greatest of good works of the Lord to us. His true help, his enduring help, his everlasting help in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus. We must remember that every Lord's Day, it is His day. It's there in the calendar. For each day that you've had, Christ died for that life. And He died so that you could have fullness of life in each day. If you do not yet believe, God gives you great and many things out of His grace. And that's because He chose to send His salvation amongst men. That's because there is an order to history centered around His Son coming to give life. We've spoken about Ebenezer as a stone. This morning our call to worship was from Psalm 118. The Lord made him the chief cornerstone. It's a marvelous work. The Lord has done it. It's marvelous in our eyes. we are to look to him as our foundation, build ourselves on him, look to him, look to remember what the Lord has done. It's this that's to set the tone for tomorrow and beyond each day. Yes, it is good to remember Ebenezer. It's an evocative kind of name. And if you need help to remember it, just now and again, stop in Cobham, go up Cedar Road a little, and there's an old chapel. It's been converted into a kitchen sale room now, but across the door is Ebenezer Baptist Chapel. It's good for us. It's right here in Cobham, and a reminder of how the Lord has helped us. It's been a significant year. Next year, no doubt, will be significant in its own way. But we pray that the Lord will remind us constantly of his great help for us, his great grace towards us, the sheer love of God. And I present that to you again this evening. Yes, those things happened many, many years ago. But let us also seek to acknowledge and to place those marks in our lives to keep reminding us that the Lord has helped us. It is thus far. Let's trust and put our dependence upon him for what is yet to come. I had a colleague in South Africa, and he would tell of one of the church elders who used to work in a petrol station. And out there, you would have pump attendants. You wouldn't get out of the car. You'd give them a tip, and they would fill up with fuel. Now this elder in the church would, that was his job. And every time my friend would, he'd gone by the time I got there. But every time my friend would greet him, he would say, "And how are you?" And he would say, "Mfundis, I'm fine so far." We are fine. We've been helped thus far. But let's put our trust afresh in the Lord. The only help that we have, the great help that we have for what is yet to come. That just so far this evening, I'm praying God's help as we go on. Let us indeed turn to sing together, making a response by taking Psalm 85, which tells of the Lord's help. It's a psalm that, in the context of Israel, as also we can use it ourselves, he is recognizing the trespass, the sin of the people. Our own sin is our greatest enemy. But the Lord shows favor and forgives and relieves. We pray then for continued mercy, but also as the psalm goes further, that we would not fall back, we would keep ourselves in his peace and truth and righteousness. We don't often do it, but let's this evening sing the whole psalm, Psalm 85.
In times past, Lord, you showed favor to your loving love and land. The cross bearing to your Maker, you restored by your strong hand. You
Thanksgiving, also of requests and intercession. Let us pray together. And so, as our help, we turn to you, O gracious Heavenly Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, that help that you have provided to release us from sin. We return our thanks for your salvation in Him, salvation that is beyond every thought of man. Your thoughts of good and not of evil. Giving thanks for your forgiveness and cleansing from sin, as Christ has given himself in our place, bearing our death upon him, that curse of sin. We also return thanks, O Lord, for the daily provisions and grace through the year past of which we've spoken. We thank you that you call us to seek thanks, that we should not be forgetful or presumptuous. We fear that many receive without giving thanks. We pray that you would change such hearts. Ours too, if that is where we are in our condition before you. We would also, O Lord, as you provide for us, very often through our daily occupations, we return thanks for our strength and our skills, for our opportunities. And in the midst of these, and as we would even anticipate these to continue, keep us faithful, O Lord, to glorify you by them with thankful hearts. As you have blessed us, we would seek, O Lord, your continued blessing. As we enter a new year soon, we pray that as you have given, so give us our daily bread. This is our concern for every true need of life, that you would grant health in body and in mind, protect, provide, uphold, work your providence in great grace in every need, especially through our daily lives, that you would keep us in spirit, that we would attend to the things that are of true value. As a congregation, we would commend to you the endeavors that are before us, new arrangements for Bible study and prayer opportunities, that this would be valued and treasured, and we will seek out to be built up in faith, to live out lives unto your praise. As we seek your grace to be at work through us, we pray that we might show Christian character, those things that are of good report, those things that are the fruit of your Spirit within us, that we will be gracious to all, that we will humble ourselves before you, that we may indeed receive grace and help in all our need. And as we receive freely, also to give freely, to know love towards others through the love of our Lord Jesus towards us, that we may love because you have first loved us, a love that is not simply of sentiment, but of practice and expense. Be at work in us too, Lord, that we would go on daily in assurance of your presence, and that presence to enable us, to strengthen us, to testify of Christ Jesus, that our living hope is found in him and may also be found by others. We pray for the needs of others, as Christ does for us. We pray for those who are especially dear to us, our wider families particularly, and perhaps even some here. We commend to you their physical needs, but especially spiritual, that they might enter into life eternal, as they receive from you daily in physical, in the benefits their minds need also, that they will be inclined to look, to search out and to discover where all good things come from. We pray for our communities. This time of year we give thanks for the full churches in the past week, and perhaps even where there might be special services in this coming week, where folk come together quite unusually for their usual life, as they're usually absent. We pray that there may be some hearing, that ears would be opened and minds and hearts not to be hardened against the truth of Christ, the truth of your continued grace. But we remember too, O Lord, where there is difficulty and hardship, perhaps in our own lives, we commend these matters to you and pray that you would grant your upholding grace. We long, O Lord, for solutions and breakthroughs in difficult situations, and we pray that you will indeed provide, but grant us that strength of patience and endurance as you do that work. We pray that where there are those about who do have difficulty, again, we continue to remember those who have been affected by the recent flooding in the UK, and remember too this time of winter those who are homeless. Pray for those who may be lonely or finding other troubles in their souls, where there is sickness and disability in body. Pray for the elderly who struggle. Pray for those who may be abused. Ask, Lord, that you would grant those who would be near to them, and perhaps even ourselves needing to see and to contribute, those who might be able to help and to provide. So too, further afield and around this world, where there are troubles between men, troubles of nature, where there is hardship faced, again, we seek your provision, your sending of those who are able to help. Where there is plenty, O Lord, work in hearts that there would be that giving out as you have given to them, to us. We pray too for your church in this world, where there may be suffering or discouragement. We would remember the man who has been brought to our attention in recent weeks, Pastor Jay in Kurdistan, and others around him. Pray for his family and their suffering. Pray for those who may be struggling as groups of your people. Ask that you, O Lord, would hold up their hands of weariness. Open the path before them And though it may not appear to change even to the eye of the body, yet through an insight of yourself, knowledge of your great victory that is to be revealed at the last, may this be their strength, our strength also. May it be the strength of those churches where there seems to be prosperity, not to rely on riches except those of the gospel. I pray that there would be a humble walk and thankfulness, only to eagerly proclaim the gospel that is our hope, that it would also be found by the needy world around us. So we do pray too for those who have gone out into different places, and particularly in that response to your call upon them. We commend them to you as they may bear a particular burden at this time of year, absent from their families. We ask that you would be their near presence, that Christ would indeed be their near brother, and the one that they can rejoice in, that there will be those around them who will also uphold them. We ask for our own country and the general circumstance of life here. We again commend our Queen to you, and we give thanks for her speech, her witness and call last Tuesday. We pray for the government, asking that they would seek to know God and truth and right. And in all things, may your honor be restored and prosper. And so, O God of hope, God of mercy, of peace, of comfort, we pray that you would draw near to us and all who are in need, who cry perhaps with an unknown anguish of spirit. Hold near and true, and be at work that your honor and praise would rise in and through us, asking all for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, and only in his name. Amen. We turn once more to sing, and in Psalm 105, page 138, I think we will sing, it's marked to verse 11, we'll sing just to verse 9, three stanzas. On page 138, give thanks to the Lord God and call on his name, his wonderful deeds to the nations proclaim. As we have sought his wonderful works, we return thanks for those that he has done, this God who is faithful to his word. Psalm 105, verses 1 to 9, three stanzas, page 138. Let's stand again.
Give thanks to the Lord God and call on his name. His wonderful deeds to the nations proclaim. Sing praises to him and his exploits record. Let all those who seek him rejoice in the Lord. You chosen ones look to the Lord and his might. Seek ever his faith and his wonders his sight. His miracles soon and his judgments divine. You children of Abraham, Jacob's own line. The Lord is our God and he rules all the earth. Remembering his covenant, the word he sent forth. For the ages to come, to make good his promise to Abraham, to Isaac, renew.
We have a further reading. We have been continuing readings in the Gospel according to Matthew, and we will take this evening from chapter 13 and verse 24. And there are a sequence of parables which we need to gather together. Parables which speak of the two ways. At times things may look alike, as the parables tell us, but there will be a division, and only one, as other parables tell us, only one is treasure. Matthew 13 at verse 24, another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Another parable he put forth to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches.' Another parable he spoke to them, 'The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till it was all leavened.' All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world.' Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth.' Jesus said to them, 'Have you understood all these things?' They said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then he said to them, 'Therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old.' Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. When he had come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, 'Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works?' Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "The prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house." Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So far, God's Word. We'll now once more pray, and I would invite you, as I lead in prayer in a moment, to join with me in concluding with the Lord's Prayer. It is printed for you in a slightly newer version than the traditional one that you might know. It is printed on the last page. So let us pray, and then I would call you to join with me in the Lord's Prayer as we know it. Again, O Lord, we come to you because we acknowledge that all holy desires and all wisdom, all good works come from you. We thank you for your word, which tells us again of your planting the seed of the kingdom within men. And so we now ask that you will indeed plant that word of your kingdom in us, and that you will grant your peace to us as this world cannot give. May we know this as your servants. We seek it that we might work that peace might work in us, that our hearts may be set to obey your word, that in every condition of life we may be at rest and know quietness of spirit as we ask and know that you will grant through the merits of Jesus Christ our Saviour, he who also taught us to pray together, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now in closing, let us turn to sing Psalm 150, closing praise for the year, from these great words. Psalm 150 will take the second setting, page 196. May this be the strength that each of us knows as we go on into the days ahead. Praise God in his holy temple. Praise the Lord in heavens high. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his majesty. Praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him for his majesty. And so on through this Psalm 150. We'll stand to sing and remain standing for the Lord's blessing.
Praise God in his holy temple, praise the Lord in heaven's high, praise him for his acts of power, praise him for his majesty, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him for his majesty. Praise him with a sounding cry.
His blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.